Yep. How about it? How about it? Tiger baseball, they just continue to win. 23 games over. Since last August, they have been an absolute dominant baseball team. And they just swept the Cleveland Guardians and just took their soul this weekend. 248-539-9797. Roy is next on 97.1 The Ticket. Hi, Roy.
Good morning, fellas. It's a great day to be a Mud Hens and a Tigers fan, that's for sure, which leads me to my champs and my chumps.
Yep.
The champs are obviously the Tigers and the Mud Hens because they literally have taken the souls from the Guardians and the Clippers, and by proxy, my chumps are the Guardians and the Clippers. It is so good to watch Cleveburg suffer.
You know, they've been really good for a long time, and I truly have respect for them. It's just so weird. I'm sure I'm reading too much into the looks on their faces when that series was over, but I just felt like there was this sort of, you know, looks on their, you could see it in their eyes. Says a guy who doesn't know any of them and doesn't cover them, but I felt like I could see it in their eyes. My God, these guys are just better than us.
I agree. I would love to see some Tigers come down for some Mud Hens playoffs and vice versa. Some Mud Hens go up for some Tigers playoffs. I loved it back in 05 and 06 when Brandon Inns and the boys came down to the Mud Hens Stadium and watched the Mud Hens go back-to-back Governor's Cup. I'd love to see that again because it revitalized two cities completely.
Well, you love yourself some Mud Hens, that's for sure. And thank you for calling.
Great ballpark.
Look, here's Cleveland's. Since 2016, here's what they've done in the American League Central. First, 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 second, 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 first, third, first. They're in the playoffs all the time.
Five division championships.
They've been great.
Yeah.
They've been great.
It's a very well-run organization.
Yep.
Now there's some question marks about it.
Yep. Okay, so... You know, the McKinstry thing, right? McKinstry, this cult hero, a guy when he was traded for, I'm not sure we even mentioned it. We might have, but I can guarantee we didn't make a big deal out of it. I think we're decent at our jobs, but maybe we dropped the ball and should have been freaking out about them getting Zach McKinstry, but I think that's holding ourselves to a pretty high standard. I don't know that anybody was freaking out about getting Zach McKinstry and how this guy is going to help this team win. But right now he's tied for the 12th highest WAR of any American League position player. He finished third in the All-Star voting. But think about this. Alex Bregman, who the Tigers thought they had in the offseason, was named to the All-Star team. He's on the All-Star team.
Even though he hasn't played in a couple weeks.
And isn't expected back till after the All-Star break. How poetic will it be if Zach McKinstry gets named to the All-Star team because Alex, I don't want to play in Detroit, Bregman is hurt? How full circle will that feel? And when Bregman's been playing, he's been great. He's been really, really good. And, you know, we talked about that contract and that offer that was on that table for, it felt like every day for a month. And it was, when's a Bregman decision? When's a Bregman decision coming? And then the Red Sox swoop in and they offer a contract. Either the Tigers didn't want to offer that contract or he was just looking for a reason not to sign here. And A.J. Hinch is like, no sweat. Well, you know, you can come win with us or we'll beat you. And, you know, it's such a great – I don't think A.J. said that in the context of Bregman. It's an A.J. quote that really applies to this particular instance. But if McKinstry gets named to the All-Star team because Bregman's hurt, something feels really poetic about that, doesn't it?
It does. And, you know, it's just, it's funny because Aaron Boone gets to make the roster, right? He gets to fill it out at this point. Mm-hmm. He's the Yankees manager. Yankees and Red Sox. It's just funny you could add another layer to it, right? Because they have this obviously historic feud going with each other, an amazing rivalry. And, you know, if Boone decides to name, you know what? He's out. The Red Sox player is out. We're going to put in a Tiger instead. Mm-hmm. It could be kind of fun.
Yeah.
For every reason you said. I don't know if McKinstry gets that nod or not.
Yeah, and I don't know if Boone gets to say whether or not he's out. If he can't play.
If he can't play, I mean, they're going to add somebody else to the roster. But
it won't be his decision. It'll just be an obvious decision that's made because he's hurt. But
and, you know, looking at the American League third baseman out there, there actually are a couple that have higher WAR than Zach McKinstry. But one of them, Jose Ramirez, is going to be in there. And then you've got Ernie Clement from Toronto and Junior Caminero from Tampa Bay. Actually, Caminero has a lower WAR, but he's got some really interesting numbers. Isak Paredes has a higher WAR than Zach McKinstry now as well, but just barely. But the point is, Zach McKinstry, what he's doing is, I think it's completely out of left field. Now, AJ Hinch will probably tell you otherwise, no, it's all the hard work he's put in, this and that. But let's go back and look, right? The Tigers made that trade to acquire him after he played 47 games with the Cubs and hit .206 with a .633 OPS. Tigers acquired him, and he played 148 games 2 years ago with the Tigers. In those 148 games, he hit .231 with a .654 OPS, which is well below league average.
What age was he that year?
I don't know. He's in his like fifth year in baseball, so it's probably 26, 27 years old.
Okay.
Then last year comes, he plays 118 games, hits .215 with a .614 OPS. There is nothing out of the 2 years with the Tigers that would make you think, oh, he's poised for this big jump. This year he's played 82 games, so barely past half a season, and he's hitting .285 with an .812 OPS. Yeah, those are all-star numbers. And the fact that he's played everywhere, I mean, he shows that versatility. He doesn't have the great home run totals or RBI totals because he hits at the bottom of the lineup, but he does it so well. He's the best base runner on the team, not just because how he steals bases, but going first to third, knowing how to take the extra base. What he did yesterday, you know, being halfway down the line in the ninth inning, just poised to take advantage of any kind of throw in the dirt he could have come home and scored on, and he did. Mm-hmm. He's been fantastic. But for anybody to say they saw this coming, you didn't. Nobody did. And I would have a hard time believing even AJ Hinch would say that after seeing the previous 2 years of Zach McKinstry in the Tigers uniform. This year he has taken an incredible leap forward. And is this sustainable, or is water going to find its level in the second half of the season? I don't know. You ride the wave until it fades away, I guess.
All right, some feedback coming in here. My biggest concern about the Tigers is if Parker Meadows and Riley Green continue to strike out at the rate they're striking out on balls outside the strike zone, then the offense is going to be the problem.
Why are people worried about Riley Green and his strikeouts when, okay, he can strike out three times in a game, but it's a fourth at bat that's going to do the damage?
He's third in the American League and runs batted in. Yes, he strikes out a lot. So do a lot of these guys at the top of the, you know, who strikes out a ton is Aaron Judge. Aaron Judge has three more RBIs than Riley Green. Now, Aaron Judge is better. You know, I take Aaron Judge over Riley Green, but he strikes out a ton as well. He's triple-digit strikeout guy. I mean, and Parker Meadows... Yeah, Parker Meadows striking out a ton. And if this continues, the offense is going to be the problem. I mean, you don't want high strikeout rates, but the offense with these high strikeout rates of Riley Green and Parker Meadows is second in the American League in run scored.
His OPS is fifth in the American League for all positions.
It's all, is it relatively a problem? I guess for the Tigers it is, but
there's no problem.
Your problems are measured against everyone else's problems, and everyone else's problems are way worse than Riley Green and Parker Meadows' strikeout rates.
There is no question that they'd love for him to strike out less.
Yep.
And Parker Meadows has got to start hitting. I mean, he's still below the Mendoza line. I mean, he's perked up a little bit, but not enough where like, oh, here we go. He's back on track. And hopefully he doesn't look lost out there and starts to find it. But Riley Green, I mean, if he's in a mini slump, he gets out of it like he did yesterday. He hits an opposite field home run in the 10th inning. I saw comments from AJ Hinch after the game where Torkelson hit the home run. It was a Saturday game, the 1-0 game. Mm-hmm. And how the swing that he had, because he hit the ball opposite way for a home run. And when he had his A swing, the A swing is, you know, swinging for the fences, swinging hard, right? But he did that with two strikes on him. And AJ Hinch was applauding him for it. Like, thank you for doing it because we don't want him to change who he is and don't want him to shorten the bat and shorten it. Just go about your business, man. You see the pitch and you can hit it, hit it. And he did damage with it. I think this might be a philosophy throughout. Yes, they would love for guys to be managing the strike zone better. There's no question about that, because that is literally the philosophy that Scott Harris came in preaching. But if you've got a couple of guys, and let's just go with Riley Green, he is hitting 286, despite the fact that he strikes out a ton. It's okay, because he's wildly productive with that 880 OPS. You'll take it. He's had career highs, or getting towards career highs in home runs, RBIs, average. Everything is going to be a career high this year, knock on wood, that he stays healthy. He's putting up phenomenal numbers.
There's a difference between something that needs, you'd like to see get better, and something that's fatal. And I don't feel like Riley Green's strikeout numbers are fatal. Parker Meadows is getting close to the time where he's had a spring training, and because he missed most of spring training. And so now you got, all right, let's
say they were Vierling.
Yeah. But they've managed to keep winning a lot with him. And there's other guys that'll get opportunities. And if we get into, September and things haven't gotten better, they're going to put the best lineup on the field that gives them a chance to win. But 248-539-9797. All right. Kang is back from Vegas. And he came back and just mentioned casually that he's figured out golf, which is hysterical. But he's also made his annual underdog bet, long shot bet for the Super Bowl. I feel like we've done this for a decade. And they've never hit. I think you came close once. Didn't you get Cincinnati?
It was the Falcons.
Okay.
The year they blew the 28-3.
Oh.
Don't remind Jimmy, our boss, about that.
Yeah, it probably hurts him worse than it hurts you. But anyway, we'll find out who you put the money down on this time. And figured out your figured out golf. That at 11:05 here on 97.1 The Ticket.
Hey, is your garage door making some strange noises?